K223BI.
98.9 Monroe, West Monroe.
K255BT.
100.1 Lake Charles.
K261EB. And KQJOFM.
99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi.
And online at www.kaytfm.com.
Hello, I'm Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my wife,
Lady Mildred Townsend.
And we're inviting you to join us for Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on KAYT, KQJO, every Saturday from 11 until 12 o'clock p.m., praying for your most urgent prayer needs.
Prayer changes everything.
Of your majesty.
Good afternoon. I'm Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my wife,
Minister Mildred Townsend.
And you're now tuned in to Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on KAYT. Sit back and enjoy the Word of God.
Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord and all of his hosts. Thank you all near and far for tuning in to Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on this station. I'm your host, Bishop Kenny Townsend, along with my beautiful wife of 36 plus years, none other than in the person of Lady Mildred Townsend, and we bid you Godspeed in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, soon coming King, who will probably in our dispensation of time make his grand appearance. But until he does, it is imperative that we, the body of Christ, do everything within our power to maintain this substantial walk that Christ has left with us. It is very important, amen, that we walk in the statutes, in the commandments that God has left for us. That's right. It's time to cross the T's and dot the I's because, again, the Lord is separating the tare from the wheat. And you've got to make sure because, you know, there are some tares that have mingled in with the wheat. And it's kind of hard to tell the difference. And we're living in a dispensation of time to whereas master discernment is needed, but more importantly, self-examination is needed more so than anything. Self-examination will cause us to take notoriety of where we really are. I think even when it comes to before we get ready to take Holy Communion or the sacrament of the Lord, God doesn't even want us to become just what we call socialites with that. It just becomes a social event. We take communion every first or third Saturday or Sunday or whatever the case may be. And there's a truth that the Word of God is sharing with us. And it tells us, it says, let a man examine himself. You know, a lot of time, you know, we're so drawn in what we think is called the prophetic and spiritual gifts and things of that nature. We're often looking for other people. Man of God, what is God showing you about me? Woman of God, what is God showing you about me? And you know what I tell them? The same thing he showed you already. You're just not doing anything about it. You know, before anybody else knows, what's right or what's wrong in your life. But seeking to make that excuse only broadens the spectrum that much more for the enemy, Lucifer, to take hold on you. As I said before, we pretty much already know when things are not right in our life, but how we respond and how we act to them is of the utmost importance so that we can maximize our walk in the things of God. And we are, listen, I know you're not going to agree, but we are in that lukewarm age now where people are calling wrong right and right wrong. We are in that age where people are looking for self-justification, even in the church, even the pastors. That's right. We're looking for self-justification. Yes, many times we can see the wrong in everybody else's life, but we don't want to see the wrong in our life. I'm not talking about your past life. That ain't what I'm talking about. Because see, one thing about it, there's a saying that goes like this. When you're right, nobody remembers. And when you're wrong, excuse me, nobody will ever forget it. But I'm not concerned where you were. I'm concerned, as with God is, where are you now? You notice in the beginning of Genesis, when Adam strayed away, God didn't say, Adam, where were you? He didn't say that, did he? No, he didn't. As a matter of fact, he said, Adam, where are thou? Where are you now, Adam? Because you ain't at the place where I left you at. What about us today? Are we at that place? Are we at that place of loving God like when we first came to him? Nothing else mattered. Are we still there? Or is God calling out now? Hey, bro, pastor, where are you? Sister evangelist, where are you? Brother deacon, where are you? Brother prophet, where are you? Where are you, brother teacher? Where are you? Have we, as the body, strayed away? Well, it's time for us to get back on course because time is of the essence. Amen. Going to get ready. I thought Minister Milton was going to come and join me, but I guess she kind of got tied up. But I want to share this scripture coming from the book of Jude. Starting at verse number 17. There ain't but one chapter in Jude. 1:17. And this is what the beloved apostle said. He said, "But beloved, remember ye these words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they have told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust." I like the word of God because y'all know what? This book ain't talking to sinners. It's talking to us that will potentially go back into sin. And to remind us that just because Christ did the finished work on the cross, we've got to maintain that frame of mind to continually walk in that. Because I assure you, this whole Bible is telling us that once we come to the Lord, there is a possibility that we can forfeit entering into that rest. Here's what it says, even more. It says, how that they told you that there should come mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves. Watch this. Sensual, not having the Spirit. They got religion. Yep. Got a zeal for God, but not according to the knowledge of God's Spirit. Spirit is everything, beloved people of God. Spirit is everything. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit of God, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And to everybody that makes this excuse that, well, you know what? We're going to be sinners till the day we die. I've got some sad news for you. To think like that, you'll never be saved. But more importantly, you are making a lie out of the death, burial, in resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because if Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and you're confessing that you're going to be a sinner to the day you die, his death, burial, and resurrection was in vain. But I'll be truthful with you. You've bought a lie from the enemy to keep you as a lukewarm believer, to keep you with just having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. This is what I like about Jude here. And I want you to take this in your Bibles. And every time when you're confronted to make sinful decisions or do sinful things that you know are not pleasing to God, and because what happens is when you just habitually do a thing, it becomes automatic. But as you learn to examine yourselves, you'll start to understand what the beloved apostle is talking about now when he says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." He's not going to stop you. He's able to keep you. He's not going to stop you from lying. He's not going to stop you from backbiting. He's not going to stop you from adulterating. He's not going to stop you from fornicating. He's not going to stop you from homosexualizing or lesbianizing. He's not going to stop it, but he is able to keep you.
He's not going to stop you from gluttony and overeating, obesity. He's not going to stop you from bulimia and anorexia. He's not going to stop it, but he's able to keep you from falling back into those things that you repented of and asked God to deliver you from. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling back into fear, anxiety, panic attack, whatever you're going through, he's not going to stop you. I've got to tell you the truth. He's not going to stop you. But now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, watch this, and to present you faultless. Because if you die a sinner, that's how you're going to be raised. But he's able to present you to be faultless. You know what faultless means? No sin in your life. You can always be sinful to somebody that disagree with you. Jesus was sinful to the hypocrites of his day, and so will you be. But the truth of the matter is, we as believers, even in our own mountain experiences from time to time, long to hear those same words when Jesus was on top of the mountain with Peter, James, and John. This is my beloved son, hear ye him, in whom I am well pleased. That's all he needed. That's all you need in the spirit, to know that you're pleasing God. And when you seek, that's all you need. His validation. You don't need the pastor's validation. You don't need my validation. You need his validation to say, well done, my daughter. Well done, my son. That's what we need. Who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. This thing is not hard, y'all, but the way of a transgressor is hard. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for this splendid opportunity to come before you and your great people, seeing, O God, that they are a great people. Give unto thy servant now, O Lord, clarity and understanding. Grant unto me wisdom to go in and about thy people, that we may be found without fault, without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing, in anything that is not pleasing in thy sight, O Lord God. Let the spirit of conviction come our way, that we may renounce and recant and turn from everything that will hinder the progress of us entering into your glory. Father, we ask that you forgive us of sins of omission, sins of commission, things that we knew we should have done but we didn't do. And we thank you for your grace and mercy that afforded us this opportunity to be in the land of the living. For somebody went to sleep on last night, O God, and were called into judgment. Some son, some daughter, some husband, some wife, some pastor, some prophet, some teacher was called into judgment, but you had mercy on us. And, O God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will help us while we are all down on this planet seeking to find our way back to you. We're asking you, O Lord God, to help us regardless of race, creed, color, denomination, or any such thing that will act as a hindrance. For we are your creation. And we ask you, O Lord God, to help us to lay aside every weight and sin that would so easily beset us and help us to run this race with patience, with you as the author and finisher of our faith. These things we ask and we do receive in thy son Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Again, thank you for tuning in to Moments of Inspiration. I'm Bishop Kenny Townsend and my wife, Lady Middle Townsend, of the Moments of Inspiration Ministry. We would love to have you join us on a Sunday afternoon, 12 o'clock noon, at 1400 College Drive in Pineville, Louisiana. That's right. We would love to help to empower you in a season, amen, where people are acting powerless over what the enemy is doing. And we are living in a society now where many people are being hoodwinked and bamboozled on every side. Many people don't know if they're coming or going. And yes, I know many people are making the excuse to say, this is why the church ain't full, because you know what? We passing judgment on people and this, that, and the other. Beloved, I got some news for you. We're already judged. Every one of us. That's a lame excuse that the enemy uses for self.
justification. We're already judged. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's a judgment. If I love him, I'm going to do everything. Just as a husband, when he loves his wife, he's going to do everything he can, watch this, to meet her needs. Not just please her in the sense of what she wants, but he's going to help to meet her need. He's going to help to nurture and to grow her in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And you know what? She's going to help bring out the best in him. And it don't always go by as peaches and cream. Because a lot of times what happens is you've got two people, two individuals that are learning how to become one flesh. And sometimes that takes a lifetime because you've got to get so much of you out of the way and she's got to get so much of her out of the way and you both comply to that one spirit. That's where the problem comes in at. That's where the power struggle comes in that you're trying to usurp your power over her and she's trying to usurp her femininity over you and nobody's submitting to that one power, the Holy Spirit. Oh, but I tell you this, when you both come to that level of submitting to that one glorious spirit, you both now realize it ain't about me pleasing him. It ain't about me pleasing her. It's about me pleasing the Holy Spirit. And God has a profound way of bringing that thing together. So until you know what, you'll find out that your latter will be greater than the former. That's what God wants in our life. That's what he wants in our salvational walk with him. Yes, we might have started off stumbling and bumbling and splitting verbs and kicking conjunctions, but as time went on, God took our spiritual grammatical speech and he began to perfect it and he began to upgrade our mentality. And they would take note. No, you didn't go to Harvard University. No, you didn't go to Stanford. No, you didn't go to Moody Bible Institute. But they will take note that you went somewhere and they just can't put their finger on it. You know what you did? You went to the school of the feet of Jesus, where you sat and you patiently sat under his tutelage. And you renounced all activity. You emptied yourself so he could fill you back up. That's the only danger about collegiate institutions today. And I thank God for them. But for the godly man, when we get ready to go to these theological seminaries and colleges, we get filled up with their commentary. And the last time I checked, the Bible said, be filled of the Spirit. Knowledge is good. But did not even the Apostle Paul, the beloved apostle who spoke about 8 or 9 different languages and who was very skilled in the law, who sat at the feet of the beloved tutelage of Gamaliel, sat back and said that all that I have learned, I counted as but dung. D-U-N-G. Another 4-letter word that we use today that is very vulgar. I won't go there, but you know what I'm talking about. Manure, feces, waste. Everything I've learned, Paul said, I count it as dung for what? The excellency of Christ. Higher than any collegiate degree. Higher than any PhD, higher than any master's degree, higher than any associate, any bachelor. It's higher than any of that. Notwithstanding, it's nothing wrong with having that. But God's Holy Spirit is much more supreme than the accolades that man can bestow upon us. And that's what we need to get back to. That's what we need to ascribe to. Because at the end of the day, you'll find out that out of all of those honorary degrees and things that we have, we still got to go by what the Holy Ghost say. And you'll find out that many things that you learned, the Holy Spirit gonna contradict it. Because if you don't pass what man says, you don't make the grade. But the Bible says that they took note, those disciples that were ignorant men, they had been with Jesus. And that's what it's all about, people of God. Again, no disclaimer needed, not refuting or putting down conventional education. It can be very helpful. That education helped Paul out in many days while he was preaching the gospel, because there were some people that were torn between one belief and some people that were torn between another, but he used it for his greater advantage for the preaching of the gospel. Sometimes you do have to meet people where they are. That's why he said, I became all things to all men that I might gain them. Now, that doesn't mean that he started smoking crack because he was around crackheads, or he started womanizing because he was around whoremongers. Let's not get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. That's not what it meant. It meant that he spiritually was able to sit around them and understand without judging them, because he was on a mission to win them. And he rightfully knowed how to deal with circumstances and situations that were hypocritical and that were non-compliant and non-conformant to the things of God. Yes, he dealt with that too, because that's what love does. Love helps us to conform. Love helps us to lay aside the weight and the sins that so easily beset us. That's what love does. It does all of that. I tell people all the time, they say, that's what's wrong with the church. We ain't showing enough love to each other. But you know what? The same love that Jesus showed in that temple, that same love, it was love. When he whipped those people out of the temple, brothers and sisters, that was the most purest form of love that you could ever think of, especially when confronting circumstances and situations of plain mutiny, because that's what that was, mutiny. Going inside of God's house and turning it into a den of thieves. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves doing those same things in this dispensation of time, having Super Bowl parties and things of that nature in the house of God that is to be hallowed out as something sacred, and ripping the runway and fashion shows and all of these things in the sacred place of God. I'm just saying that. That's what love does. Love helps us address the things that are pleasing and displeasing to God. Okay? So, I love you, and I hope you love me. But I will tell you this. No, we will not always agree when it comes to the things of God. There is no power struggle within the infrastructure of the Holy Ghost, only with egos. There will always be power struggles with egos. Always has been. Always will be. And that's because, again, if we are not careful, yes, Christ gave us salvation. Yes, he did. He filled us with the Holy Ghost. But I've got to be honest with you. If you or I don't do what it takes to maintain, I hear it already. Oh, I ain't got to worry about nothing, Bishop. The finished work on the cross, that's all I need to be concerned with. Well, no, you need to be concerned with a little more. And I'll tell you why. I've given this analogy on many times. If I gave you a car, brand new truck or whatever, if I gave it to you, and that truck's got gas in it, it's got oil in it, it's got transmission fluid in it, give you everything. And a full tank of gas, too. We'll just say that's how the Holy Spirit does us. It gives us everything that we need once he comes into our lives. Because the Bible says God has given us everything that pertains to life and to godliness. So I've given you this truck. I've given it to you with everything in it. And so then it would be sacrilege for you to come back to me 6 months later, say, hey, Bishop, you know what? The car you got, you know what? It's running funny, man. Really? Well, what did you do? I ain't did nothing. I've just been driving it like you gave it to me. Okay. So what did you do to maintain? Have you put any oil in it? No. Because it was already in there. Okay. Have you been checking your tire gauges to make sure that you got the right place? No, because just the way you gave it to me, I figured I didn't have to do nothing else. Well, that's not how it works. You see, it was a attitude of caring that caused me to give it to you. It was an attitude of gratitude that made me want you to have this beautiful truck so that you can get around and be a blessing in the life of other people. But you thought you didn't have to do anything to maintain that truck. And so now the truck started going down. It started breaking down because you did not do your part to uphold. Brothers and sisters, the Bible is full of examples that if we don't do what God tells us to do, yes, he does want to bring us back to that place. He does want to bring us back to that place. But until he establishes heaven on earth, please don't forget, we got work to do. We do. Because even the Bible says a tree is known by the fruit it bears. Even the Bible says faith without works is dead. So if I gave you that car and you didn't do the works to maintain it, Jesus throughout the Bible is telling us that even after we get saved, even after we get filled with the Holy Ghost, even after we've been baptized in Jesus' name, even after we've spoken some kind of made-up tongue or whatever you want to do, even after we've did all of those things of religiosity, after we did all those things of conforming to the denomination, after we did all of that to appease them, if we don't stay in the arena of self-examination, because the enemy doesn't want you to know, just because you've been delivered now, he's looking for a way to get you back. He's singing Michael Jackson's song to you, "I Want You Back." And whatever it is that you're going through, whatever weakness that you had, whatever problem that was, he's trying to bring that back. It's up to you to keep it out. I'm here to tell you in love that God loves you. And he has laid down spiritual and natural laws for us to abide in. But beloved people of God, if we, I don't care how saved you are, how sanctified you are, I don't care how innocent you are, if we don't operate in those laws, those spiritual laws that God has laid down, we fall prey to the consequences. And there's consequences for everything. You know that. How many little innocent children, God's little angels, but when they didn't operate in the law of caution, got hold to that loaded gun and played with it. And in their ignorance and in their innocence, they didn't know, but they pointed the gun at one of their little friends playing. And you know what? The law of mishap. When the gun went off and shot the other little kid, yes, God's angels could have been there to stop it. In many cases, they do. But the more wicked this world becomes, God now is only concerned about one thing, keeping the evil one from just running rampant, doing everything that he wants. So therefore, you and I have a job to do, to pray over our children and cover them with the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. We have that assignment to do that. But again, if we don't learn how to operate in these laws, many people will fall consequence, even our children. And I know many times we've been taught and prayed for that, you know, hey, listen, the devil can't have our children. No, he can't have them if we don't let him have them. It's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to display it. It's one thing to tell other people that the devil can't have your child. But how often do you go up to your child and said, son, daughter, listen, the devil has desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you and God is going to strengthen you. And when you become strengthened, you will help strengthen your generation equally as well. It's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to be about it. And if we don't learn to operate in those laws effectively and justly, our children will fall prey to the same demonic elements that sought to took us over. It's just that simple. My little baby son couldn't have been no more than about 1 1/2. When he was a baby, was playing with my keys. But because he didn't understand how laws operate, he didn't understand the law of electricity. That is a law, just like fire is a law. And if we don't learn how to operate in those laws, I don't care how innocent you are, I don't care how much filled with the Holy Ghost you are. There have been people filled with the Holy Ghost, but when the law of averages and consequences take place, many of them have been maliciously killed in car accidents, huh? The law of the body that was violated and grossly disturbed did not allow their spirit to stay in that wrecked body, because that law was terribly violated. So therefore, in man's terminology, they were killed. Because that law was violated. And the same thing happens in this body. If we don't work to keep this body in the proper jurisdiction and the laws that God has esteemed for it, it's going to go through some consequences, just like the truck. My little son took those keys while I was in the bathroom, and he stuck those keys inside of a light socket. And when he stuck those keys, mind you, the light socket was plugged up. Now, yes, he had angels watching over him. Don't you have to understand that these angels do not automatically just in every instant of our life get involved in everything. God has given us salvation. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us a mandate. And many times we just become lackadaisical with what he's given us. We sit on it. We don't examine ourselves to see how influential we are in it. We don't exercise those spiritual muscles. And sometimes we just think that we can get up like Samson and say, I'm going to shake myself like last time and realize that there's a deficit. And when we find out that the deficit is there, it can prove to be much fatal. My son stuck those keys in there, and you know what? I heard the voltage go through the keys and my baby's hand, and I heard something pop like a loud popping sound, and I heard my baby scream. When I got up, the law of electricity didn't care about how his daddy was a preacher. The law of electricity didn't care that his mama was saved. The law of electricity didn't care about that he was only 1.5 years old. When we don't live by the law, we become violated by it. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And beloved, if we don't keep his commandments, we become in violation. And the consequences that follow therein. But I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for his grace. For after the child, I ran in there to see about him. His finger was busted open like an overcooked hot dog, and the white meat was hanging out of his finger. And the first thing that came to my mind was he needs to go to the hospital. And then the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, no, don't take him to the hospital. Disclaimer is for me only, not y'all. For me. The Holy Ghost said, don't take him to the hospital. And I said, Lord, my baby's hurt. He said, don't take him. They will get you for negligence. I said, oh, then, Lord, I need a miracle. I need a miracle, Lord. And my baby was screaming and hollering and crying. This is the reason why Bishop Townsend preaches the way he does. This is the reason why I teach the way that I do, because I'm not telling you something I heard. I'm telling you what I know. And I know a lot of times people get offended because they say he only speaks about other things and this, that, and the other. But isn't that what Paul did? Isn't that what we're reading in the Bible when we read about what Samson done and the account of what David tells he did when he was confronted by Saul and they tried to put their arm on him? Did he not stand on his testimony? Does not the word of God say that we overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb? So how are you going to get mad at me for telling you about the testimonies of how God proved himself over and over again in my life? While the baby was crying for 2 hours straight, I took him in the bedroom and I said, Lord, if I've ever done anything to please you, I need you. Aside from riches, glory, and honor, I need you to touch this baby. I need that miracle for my child, not for myself, for my child. I'm your servant. I live for you. And you promised that you would not withhold any good thing from me. And as I prayed, beloved saints of God, the room that was dark lit up with the glory and the effervescence of God's Holy Ghost. And that little child was laying there. He had been crying. God instantly put him to sleep. And when God instantly put him to sleep, that little arm started just waving up and down. And the first thing that my mind could only go through is just like when the water was being disturbed and the angel troubled the water. God was performing an operation on my baby right in that room. And after he performed that operation, the baby slept and I laid him down. And 2 hours later, even though the electricity did not honor he was a child. God's spirit and his angels and his healing virtue did. Because all of my children, I've dedicated them to the Lord. I've gave them back to him. In spite of what they may be going through, I said, Lord, those are your children. I gave them to you. You loaned them to me. I give them back to you. Use them for your service. And the same mercy that you had with me, the hard knocks that I had to go through, I know time is of the essence, but get their attention a little bit quicker than you got mine, because time is running out. That baby got up and played like nothing had happened to that hand after 2 hours. And in 3 days' time, that meat that was hanging out, God had miraculously stitched it back up, placed it on the inside, and you could barely see a mark on the hand. The white meat was hanging out. From him not complying to the law of electricity. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we serve a mighty God, and he loves us. Compliance is a must. Self-examination is a must if you want to please God. I went through the same thing. The law of fire in my misapplication years before I got married. I used to live above the church. And I would go down in the church in the wintertime to pray. And I went down there and you had to light those gas heaters. Up in Chicago, we had gas heaters up there. And you had to light that gas heater. And you had to light the pilot light in order for the whole thing to light. Y'all know about some of that. Even on the stove, you have to light that pilot light in order for the eyes to come on. Well, even though I was going down there to pray, if we don't operate righteously in the laws, there are consequences that go. Now, God's grace and mercy is right there to see us because he can see way ahead. And those holy angels ain't going to always stop everything depending on how detrimental it is. Yes, there have been times where the car's been smashed all up and not a scratch was on them. And then there have been times where people have been brutally killed. That's why we must examine ourselves. I used to go down there and pray. I would fast and I would seek God. This was before I got married. Went down there to light the stove, and the thing must have let too much gas get up in there. And I was trying to strike the match, and the match wasn't striking. And then finally, when I did get the match struck, I stuck it inside and whoosh in my face. I knew my face was burnt. I could feel the heat. Felt like it was just burning the flesh off of my face. And yeah, fear tried to grip me. I tried to open my eyes. I couldn't open them because everything had been singed. I had to literally pull my eyes open because they had fused closed with that whoosh of flame hitting my face. And I said, Lord, I hope I'm not disfigured. And the Holy Ghost immediately spoke to me and says, go get some cool water and put on your face. I'm black. But that's the first time I ever seen my black face red. It was red. It was red, people of God. It was red. I mean, but you know what? God spared me. That's why it's imperative. The laws don't care how saved and sanctified you are. We've got to operate in those laws. Why do you even think the Apostle Paul said, even when it comes to Holy Communion, let a man examine himself to see whether he didn't say, tell the pastor got to tell you. You just know when you ain't right. You know when your life is not right. You know when it's not moral. And yet, don't let the grace thing cause you to live, and the enemy will blind you from the disgrace of your life. Hey, I got to take a break. But before I do, I want to tell you about this. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about this some more. We're going to talk about how important it is to know how to operate in the things of God, because that's what it's going to take to please God. Here's what's happening in your neighborhood, surrounding areas, before I hit this other spot here. In conjunction with the New Jerusalem Baptist Church, 708 University Street, they're cordially inviting all of the brothers and sisters in Christ to the pastor and wife, Eugene and Lady Stevenson's 8th year appreciation day. This is going to be held Sunday, September 25th at 3:00 p.m. and the special guest church will be that of Pastor Chadwick Godfrey and his church, the Magnolia Baptist Church family. Now, for more information
Contact numbers are 318-445-8355 or 318-613-6715. And New Jerusalem Baptist Church, in advance, says thank you. Also want to remind you, coming up Sunday, tomorrow, September the 18th at 3:30 p.m., you're invited to take part in the 146th year church anniversary with Senior Pastor Danny D. Purnell Jr. of the Bright Morning Star Missionary Baptist Church, 521 Baptist Street in Pineville, Louisiana. Guest speaker will be the illustrious Reverend T. Leon Preston II of the Yale Street Baptist Church of Houston, Texas. This is tomorrow. All denominations are welcome. All seats are absolutely free. Sunday, September the 18th. And I will be right back after this.
Kelly's Sitting Service is a personal care assistance agency. Kelly's assists with bathing, grooming, meal preparation, medication reminders, light housekeeping, laundry, and more. Kelly's has served all parishes of Region 6 for over 27 years. Kelly's is now providing services to our veterans in their homes. Locally owned and locally operated, with a desire to assist members of our community to remain in their homes for as long as possible. Thank you for giving Kelly's the opportunity to serve you with dignity, respect, and compassion, which has been our foundational qualities throughout our ministry. Kelly's is seeking attendants and caregivers with the same qualities of dignity, respect, and compassion that have sustained this agency. Again, thank you for 27 years of service to Central Louisiana. Kelly's is an equal opportunity employer. For more information, 318-793-8453. 1-800-983-7784. The website is KellyServiceHouston.com. Kelly's Sitting Service is another proud sponsor of KAYT-KQJO-FM.
And we're back. This is Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints, right here on KAYT-KQJO. To all of my brothers and sisters out there in Central Louisiana, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Listen, yes, God has not forgotten about you. The thing is, many times we've forgotten about God. That's the problem. Time out for having a form of godliness and yet denying the power thereof. Time out for being sensationalized at the church service. But it's now time to get in compliance with the word of God. The 70 disciples that went out did not have any honorary degrees. They did not, amen, come up through trial, their first sermons and this, that, and the other. They stood in the power and the magnitude of the Holy Ghost. But they came back and they told Jesus this. They said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us. And in today's society, it appears as though that we are more subject to the devils. We're talking about everything that the devil is doing, and he's doing this. And yes, but now what we're supposed to do is confront what the devil is doing. That's what I loved about Paul. He confronted it. He didn't talk about what the enemy was doing. Yes, he did talk about how Alexander the coppersmith did him much evil, but he was letting the other saints know how to be more discerning about the people around you. It is imperative that you learn to be more discerning about the people around you. And it's very important that you understand what goes on in the cerebral housing of your brain, because when the Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. The enemy is working overtime to instill fear inside of us. That's what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, when the unclean spirit, when fear leaves you, when anxiety leaves you, when anxiety attacks leave you, when obesity, gluttony, when diabetes, glaucoma, or anything, when it leaves you, it goes through dry places. Heart pressure, high blood pressure, diabetes, congestive heart failure. When we get prayer and all of those things leave us, they go through dry places looking for rest. Yes, it's a done deal on the cross, but as I often tell people, God then already established the kingdom. You know what we're doing? We're maintaining it. The kingdom is already established. Number one, he said, the kingdom of God is within you. Everything that you need, and I'm going to let you in on a little secret, because this is what happened. The enemy starts to discombobulate our mental capacities. And once he starts to discombobulate your mental capacities, he starts to make you think that one thing is bigger than the other. But I got some news for you all today. The Holy Ghost wants you to understand this. And if you can grasp this on today, you will stop making differences in the things in which that God can do for you. Now, here's what the problem is. You think that if someone has cancer or if somebody's got diabetes or if somebody's got lupus or if somebody's got what man has deemed something stupendous, oh, it's going to take a lot for to heal that. But can I tell you something? The same healing power that God has inside of you right now, that if you were to take a razor blade and slit your finger, immediately, and I'm talking to the saved folks as well as the unsaved folks, because it rains on the just as well as the unjust. The same healing factor that God has down on the inside of you, depending upon if you're not on Coumadin and your blood has become substantially like water. If that's not the case and you've not taken an over excessive amount of aspirin to thin your blood down because of high blood pressure, if that's not the case, what happens is the factor of healing through the process of coagulation will cause your blood to immediately start clotting up so you don't bleed to death. What's going on? Healing is already inside of you. But because you have mistaken everything that you go through, your body is already coming up with ways to try to heal you. And the body is just saying, give me something to work with. Give me something to work with. No matter what sickness we are bound or has us bound, the body, through the healing of Jesus Christ, is saying, give me something to work with, and I will. Remember when Isaiah went to Hezekiah? And God told Hezekiah, get your house in order. You finna die. What was wrong? He was sick. You know what? Back in them days, they didn't have the technology like we had today. And many of us can go to the doctor and we can get boils lanced. But it had infection going through his body. And it was about to kill him. And that's why Isaiah went to him and the Lord told him to say, tell him to get his house in order. He's gonna die. But you know what he did? He went back to God and said, will you not let the works I've done speak for me? That's what it means when the kingdom of God is within you. When the kingdom of God is within you, you can remind yourself that I am a servant of the Most High God. Diabetes, you can't have me. Glaucoma, you can't have me. Obesity, gluttony, you can't have me. I'm a servant of the Most High God. Listen, whoremongering, you can't have me. I'm a servant of the Most High God. Sickness, heart disease, heart failure. But the Holy Ghost said, just give me something to work with. Change what you're eating. Stop consuming all of the salt. Give me something to work with. We're going to beat this thing. Give me something to work with. Put some doolaloo with your hallelujah. Give me something to work with. Isaiah goes back to Hezekiah and says, the Lord has heard your prayer, and he's added 15 more years onto your life. But not more importantly than that, he wants you to know that sickness that's trying to take you, your body's going to try to help heal itself. But here, take a lump of figs and lay on the boil, and he recovered. God is concerned about us. He's concerned. But you got to give him something to work with. And you do that by laying aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Because a lot of time, you'd be surprised how many folks will call and say, man of God, pray for me. I need a financial blessing. And my next question is, what did you do with the last one? Oh, I paid my tithe. I did this. I did it. Well, listen, if you're doing what you're supposed to do, you ain't going to need one. If God met your need then, he'll meet it again. All you got to do is thank him for it. Every bill that I got, it ain't mine. Lord, these are your bills. You got to pay these bills. You got to pay the church insurance. You got to pay the benevolent fund so we can reach out and help more people, Lord. There are people need out there. But he uses us to do it. He uses us to do it. I ain't got to stand up and talk about tithe and offering. You know what I talk about? I talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And when we comply to the fruit of the Spirit, we ain't got to prime and pump folks and get them to give tithe and offering. Like I told y'all, when I loved my wife, I didn't have to ask her to beg her for a baby.
Baby came when I did what I was supposed to do. Teach the people to love God and everything else going to fall into place unless there's something else that ain't right. Because I'm here to tell you, when people give what they got, God going to bless what you got. Problem is, we're trying to conform to what man has said. And many times we don't have faith ourselves. We're looking at the tithe and offering, and we're seeing that the money ain't coming in right and this, that, and the other. And so we're forgetting that God said that when you go into the vineyard and work, whatever's right, I will pay, saith the Lord. But we get caught up the numbers. And remember, when you start trying to look at the numbers, you start to get like David. And David numbered Israel, and it caused him to fall out with God. Let me go to the prayer line. Hello, caller. This is Moments of Inspiration. You're on the air. Can you tell us what you're calling about? What prayer need you have?
I have a birthday today. Not mine, but my nephew's birthday.
Well, why didn't your nephew call?
He don't know your number.
Why didn't you give it to him? Huh?
I don't know it myself half the time.
Say what?
I have to guess where it is half the time.
You had to guess? Well, why didn't you give the number to your nephew?
He ain't got no phone.
Huh?
He don't have a phone.
He don't have a phone?
No.
Well, how he gonna hear happy birthday if he ain't got a phone?
Oh, you can talk to him online.
Oh, is he with you now?
Yeah.
Well, why didn't you let him call?
Oh, hold on. Hey, Jay.
That's all right. Don't worry about it.
KYT wants you.
Tell him I said happy birthday. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just tell him we said happy birthday, okay?
Hey, I just on the phone. Get in the phone.
Just tell him we said happy birthday.
KYT on the phone.
Just tell him we said happy birthday. That's all.
KYT on the phone. Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, is today your birthday?
Yes, sir.
How old are you?
44.
Happy birthday to you, all right?
All right, thank you.
God bless you. All right. Caller, this is Moments of Inspiration, Perfecting the Saints. Can you tell us who you are and where you're calling from and what your prayer request might be?
Hey, Bishop Townsend, God bless you.
God bless you, sir.
That Minister Mildred couldn't make it this time, but I've been enjoying all this stuff you've been talking about. And with these dark days that are about to hit us, people just need to get ready. There's no rapture or nothing. There's no rescue from above. And we just need to get ready. You know, our kids and you and me are old enough. We used to have prayer in school. We used to read the Bible. We used to do the Ten Commandments. But I think after we left school, probably in the 70s and stuff, with the Supreme Court, they outlawed all that stuff. So the devil just stepped right in. And these parents, the problem we're having is parents. It's not the police that are the problem. It's the parents. They give them these iPhones and all like that. And you don't need to give no child no iPhone or nothing. You know?
Yeah.
But go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, because the time is that now the iPhone has become the babysitter and has become the go-to person in the event of an emergency, you know. But, you know, it is what it is, Brother Cornelius. But, just because they stopped praying, I never stopped. Just because they stopped reading, I never stopped. Just because they stopped incorporating it, I never stopped. And right. That's what I meant when I said put some doodle-luya with your hallelujah.
That's what I like about it. You can come up with some sayings out of this world, Pastor.
Well, give the glory to God, man. Glory to God. But, yeah, that's what it is, man. But we have a responsibility.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one more thing. Today is Constitutional Day.
Yes.
And we need to think about Christ and the Constitution and stuff, and we put our flag out and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And people need to realize if they read the Bible and read the Constitution, our rights come from God, not from government.
That's right.
And that's the key too.
Yeah. Yeah.
We find freedom in Christ.
Yeah.
Not freedom in government. But I just hope people are ready. I'm telling some of our senior citizens, I eat at the senior citizens feeding center on Bolton Avenue. then people say, well, we're going to turn our flower beds in the gardens and stuff now to grow things instead of having just things you can't eat, get things you can eat. Times are getting tough. You see how prices are up, vegetables and all like that. And you're right. If you eat right, you'll be right.
Yeah.
God gave us everything. Our immune system can fight off a whole lot of things.
So let me ask you, are they having anything conventional today about National Constitution Day?
Anything conventional? Well, they had it in the schools all week long. They had things and stuff like that. But I don't think as far as the area, unless individual churches may be doing something or something like that.
As far as
I know, the city or anything like that, I hadn't heard anything about that.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the info.
God bless you, and God bless Minister Mildred. And like you said, either you can let diabetes kill you or you can kill the diabetes. And I decided to kill the diabetes because that doctor told me, oh, Mr. White, you've got to go on insulin to live.
Yes,
I went from 1,000 above sugar a year ago to now down in the hundreds because I eat right now.
Praise God. You did put some doodle-loo-you with your hallelujah. See there? See? You did. Amen. Well, look, let me move on. I ain't got but a few minutes. God bless you now. All right. Thank Brother Cornelius for that. Look, look, y'all, that's what I mean when I said let a man examine himself. A lot of times, you know, it's not enough to just pray for me this, pray for me that, pray for me that God will do this. Look, God ain't finna get on that cross and die no more. He done it. He's already died on that cross. You have to understand now, take up your cross. The only thing about you is you don't have to die and lay 3 days in the heart of the earth. Yes, you will be persecuted for truth. Get over it. Get over it. Get over it. People are going to talk about you because you know what? One thing about it, we are living in a society where the world loves its own. We are in a society now where, no, they're going to act like they want you as long as they can get something from you. They did it to Jesus. As long as Jesus was passing out miracles, as long as Jesus was opening blind eyes and unstopping deaf ears, as long as Jesus was catering to what they wanted. But the moment he began to tell them what the Heavenly Father expected, as you and I, when we began to tell them this is what God wants us to do, this is what he expects us to be in compliance with what his word. Now, loving one another does not mean closing a blind eye to something that's wrong. Please don't get that twisted. Please, I beseech you by the mercy of God, don't get that twisted. Closing a blind eye. I love you, but I can't close a blind eye to your wrongdoing. And neither should you if I'm doing wrong. Okay, I'm not talking about being combative because a lot of saints want to just be combative when they can't have their way. That's not what I'm talking about. No, Paul was not being combative. He was being corrective. There's a difference in being combative and corrective. And when we see something that's out of order, the average person that still wants to be entertained, they're going to become combative. Trust me. I'm telling you what I know. When it comes to telling people what's right, huh? Even when Pilate asked the question, says, who do y'all want, Barabbas or Jesus? They knew Barabbas was a murderer, but that's the way the world operates. So why are you getting bent out of shape? And then when calamity does come because of our misfortunes and our wrongdoing, does not the Bible say the way of a transgressor is hard? But that's God's love. That's his mercy. Huh? Whom the Lord love, he chastised. It don't mean that people are coming down on you because, you know, they just trying to put their mouth on you. No, many times God trying to get us out of us so we can be filled with the Spirit and not drunken with the cares of this life. The cares of this life will make you drunk. And if you're not careful, you'll find yourself trying to comply to what people want. And then Lucifer's got you complying to what you want instead of what God wants. That's what we call a spirit of self-justification, like Diotrephes. Put the people out of the church. If you don't do what I say do, you got to go. That's not how it operates, y'all. Church ain't no pastors. Don't no pastor own the church. Jesus owned the church. We're just under shepherds. Hey, got to go. 1400 College Drive is the place to be tomorrow. God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' name. And remember, the devil is not forced to change, that the power of God cannot destroy. I don't want no chains broken. I want them destroyed. Because anything that's been broken can be fixed. There's power to destroy. every chain.
We know the broadcast has been a blessing to you, and since it has, feel free to contact us at
662-704-0630. Again, 662-704-0630.
And until our next broadcast, remember, the devil has not forced a chain that the power of God cannot break. Until our next broadcast, God bless you. From Bishop Kenny Townsend
and Minister Mildred.